Triple M Rocks Sunday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Hey guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away, but what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts, there's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now and let's get into the podcast.
The Grand Final, 2016. And a moment 50 years in the making. The team from the Shire. From Cronulla, from Sutherland, from Engadine, Carrigbar, Sylvania and Heathcote. And everywhere in between. So used to heartbreak. So used to despair. Three times they've been right here,
if you had
within grasp.
One shot.
Three times.
One opportunity.
They've tasted disappointment.
He sees everything you ever wanted.
But now.
One moment.
They stand on the edge.
Did you capture?
The edge of a rugby league moment in time.
Yo.
His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti, he's nervous. But on the surface, he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud. He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's choking how? Everybody's choking now. The clock's run out. Time's up, over. You better lose his health in the music. The moment you own it, you better never let it go. You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. You better lose his health in the music. The moment.
The Cronulla Sharks haven't been perfect. They're not loved by everyone, but they're loved by everyone in the Shire. Filled to the brim with veterans who know the big stage, who've won on the big stage. But with that, they pay a price. A clock that ticks louder with each game, each opportunity, each moment. Paul Gallen. 16 years waiting for a day like this. Michael Ennis. He's been here before, but never taken that victory lap. For many, this will be their last shot. For some, this will be their only shot.
So here I go, it's my shot. Feet fail me not. This may be the only opportunity that I got.
And standing in Cronulla's way, the Melbourne Storm, as intimidating as it gets. Cam Smith, Cooper Cronk. Our game has known no greater winners. Craig Bellamy, perhaps, no, almost certainly, the best coach of his era. They've won Origins here. They've won Grand Finals here. They don't fear the big stage. They thrive on it. Could there be any tougher obstacle for the team from the Shire?
You better lose his health in the music. The moment you own it, you better never let it go. You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. You better lose his health in the music. The moment you own it.
Cronulla Sutherland Sharks versus the Melbourne Storm, the National Rugby League Grand Final where legends are made and dreams are so cruelly dashed. Live and loud on Triple M.
And welcome back to it. We'll get a score update for you. It's all thanks to Tyre Power. Holden Cup.
I love 50 Cent singing that song.
Do you need to interrupt me to tell me that, or can I get this score out first? Panthers 16, Roosters 6. That's all thanks to Tyre Power. That is the Holden Cup. The next game is Cutters Bears. And then, of course, the big dance, the Storm and the Sharks. Well, 1967, an interesting year. The Cronulla side are welcomed into the New South Wales Rugby League. At the same time, Dustin Hoffman stars in the movie The Graduate. Yeah. Oh, it's a
what
long
a
time ago.
What a good wow. year it was.
1 year of decimal currency.
I remember that.
Was it?
Yeah. But why is this going to be their year, Matty? Why is this going to all change after 50 years? Why does it change today?
Well, can I tell you what I personally believe? I think the best thing that this Sharks team has is it's not, and this is going to sound bad, it doesn't have a lot of local juniors. I think that's the best thing for the team because they haven't lived with the history of what this club is, you know, hasn't had, hasn't done. You know, when we played in 97, 99, we were, you know, we had about 70% of the team were local juniors, grown up in the era, grown up knowing that the side had never won. And I think we didn't handle it well. You know, like has been said, the closer you get, when you live in Cronulla, the closer you get to winning this thing, and the fans are that passionate and that loyal, and they've stuck with this team for so long that the closer you get, the harder it gets. And I've always said it's going to take a very unique bunch of men to go out and win this comp.
Mate, I've been joking about the Shire because when I was at the Dragons, we used to spend a lot of time with Robbie Kearns and all those Cronulla boys in the time, and it's a very proud rugby league. There was Coma, there was, you know, D. LaSalle and all that, and I think this year I went and played a golf day full of D. LaSalle, and in the Shire, they actually love rugby league more than most areas, and I think it's just ingrained in them. And as you said, and I said about halfway through the year, the biggest challenge for the Cronulla players is the pressure.
Yep.
And obviously playing for Brisbane, you know, one horse town, you have to win, and it's the pressure of everybody supporting you. And then all those guys, they all live in the area, so they live and breathe it 24/7. So do they come today? Do they go, well, the Shire's on? As what you said, you had to get out of there. It was a nightmare, wasn't it, like today?
Well, you know, it wasn't a nightmare. I think the reason I left was after my father passed, because the area loved him so much, it hurt me to always talk about it. And I had to leave because it just felt the pressure of sort of living under that shadow. Well, not that it was a shadow, under the love and the intense sort of pressure you get from our Cronulla fans. It sort of didn't push me away, but I just felt like I didn't handle it very well. So, I mean, I know these boys, they're not from the Shire, but they've embraced the Shire. You know, the senior players like your McAnus, like your Luke Lewis, you know, your Fafitas, all these guys, they love it down there. They're embracing it, but they're not burdened by the last 50 years. They just want to go out and win footy games. And I think that's the best thing that this team's had over the last 20 years.
I don't think it's going to be an issue. Look, Cronulla have got players who have played big games. They've got Gallen and Ennis and Luke Lewis.
No,
well, they have. They've got six players who have played grand finals.
Six.
How many have Melbourne got?
Don't know.
Six.
But they've got the main ones that have won them.
Well, that's true. They've got them in the key area of the hooker and a halfback, but it's still only six players. Jordan McLean's never played a grand final. Munster's never played a grand final.
Yeah, I'm a little bit. Yeah.
No, that,
there are some questions.
I'm not sure Brett Valu's not played a grand final either.
Yeah, the advantage is not as clear to Melbourne in that area as people believe.
No, I agree.
Well, it's masked a little bit by Cameron Smith and Cooper Cronk, who 6-5 between those guys. But still, Paul Gallen's played 20-odd origin games. Luke Lewis has played tests. He's played a grand final. Chris Heinington comes off the bench. He's been around. He's played a grand final in 2005. Yeah. They've got guys there who have played big games, who know what it's like.
What I'm trying to make is Melbourne,
you know what? They're
also there's less
tough
pressure. Yeah. Oh, mate, they are. Mate, Cronulla's a side that I've always explained them that they'd fight over a bone. There's got to be, and the bone won't have any meat on it. They're a side that grind. They fight for every inch. They fight for every point. But now the scoreboard, and they'd put so much pressure on you, Cronulla. Well, now the scoreboard's in their favour. They got the Valentine Holmes, they got guys, Barber and Maloney and Townsend, that can score the points. So now all that pressure that they used to put on to score probably 12 or 14 or 16 points, it's 20, 24, 30 points.
Well, that was
points.
The issue. They couldn't score points a few years back. Now they've got Maloney in the halves. Chad Townsend, I think, has grown another leg since he left Cronulla and come back. Then you've got your outside backs. You've got Valentine Holmes, who's an absolute finisher. Fecky, who plays a different role to Val. He's more of a, you know, he's a stronger, more bustling type runner. But we saw Valentine running the ball hard, you know, against North Queensland last week. I think they've got it across the park to do it. I don't think experience, you know, I don't think it's experience alone is going to get Melbourne across the line. I think Kenny's right. Like the experience that Melbourne have, yeah, it's in the 9 and it's in the 7. But, mate, you know, the game's going to be won in the middle. If Cronulla start, you know, bustling forward, getting the offloads and getting quick play the balls, we need to play second phase, I believe, get offloads so we can get quick play the balls and bring Ennis into the game. If they're winning the wrestle, they take Ennis out of the game, and I don't think Cronulla win it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think the advantage is anywhere near as distinct to Melbourne. And Mick Ennis has been waiting for this game. He's had three opportunities before to win a grand final. He's played in two. He's lost them both. And there's been other times where he said, you know what, we're a grand final side and they didn't quite get there. This is all it today. And he's been the form hooker of the season along with Josh Hodgson as far as I'm concerned. I just don't see the advantage that Melbourne keep talking about, Gordon.
All right, boys.
I just think that there's less pressure. So Melbourne's away and, like, they've won grand final. I'll tell you what, mate, the pressure, because when I played at the Dragons, it was a totally different pressure playing at the Dragons when I was playing there because of the rich history of, you know, like 11 in a row, and then you go to a club that hasn't won. Like yesterday, there was probably more pressure. Well, it was different in the AFL, but I think there's more pressure on Cronulla. I actually believe there's more pressure on Cronulla. If I was playing for Cronulla, I'd feel the presence of the Andrew Eddinghausens, the Steve Rogers, all these guys that haven't won. Well, I would.
But
Gordon, and then you go to Melbourne and they've won.
But Gordon, you can actually use that pressure as a positive. Yeah, like Michael Johnson, the great 400-metre, 200-metre sprinter, he always says he likes pressure because when he feels pressure, that tells him that whatever it is he's feeling the pressure about is important to him.
Yeah, so he said that after he won six gold medals.
Yeah, but that's why he embraced it. He embraced the pressure. Look, there's no doubt the Cronulla players, they're aware of the club's history, but they're not burdened by it. And what they do is you can actually turn that into a momentum and you can turn that into a bit of a cause. And I know from my experience of covering grand finals, like I go back to the Knights in 97, the Knights were as relaxed as any team I'd ever seen. They went out against a Manly side that was drum tight and Manly just couldn't quite push the go button, and the Knights just had that loose feel about it and they went for it. And then it happened again in 2001 when Newcastle came up against Parramatta. And then when Penrith got in the grand final in 2003, they actually spoke to the Knights about how do they handle it. First grand final, how do we handle it? And the advice was just be relaxed. Don't let the moment get you and learn to embrace and have a good time and enjoy the week. And so they did that and they took on the Roosters and they beat the Roosters, who were the overwhelming favourites. And then you know what? When West Tigers made an 05, they rang Penrith. And they said, how do we handle this? And exactly the same.
Who did Cronulla win?
I don't know if Flano rang anyone, but I'll tell you, you know, he spoke at the grand final lunch on Friday, and that was the first thing that he wanted his players. Enjoy the week, but stay relaxed. Don't get caught up in it.
All right, Sunday Triple M NRL. Just, Matty, just because you are a mad Sharks fan today, I know you've got a link with a couple of clubs. Last time they won, this is how long they've been waiting to win the premiership. The Captain Cook Bridge was 2 years old.
Good bridge, that.
A house in Burley Avenue, Caringbar, sold for $12,558. How about
Serious?
That?
Wow.
12,000.
I'll take two.
And some bloke by the name of Harold Holt went missing that year as well. So there's all the Harold Holt references we hear in relation to the Sharkies. But it's today's the day. The Sharkies to win their first premiership.
Plenty of porch lights on in Cronulla tonight, I can tell you.
And you're going to hear the whole thing live here on the Triple M Network. Cronulla. We are live at ANZ Stadium for the Telstra Premiership. Thanks to DeWalt. And we'll be back straight after this with more as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL Grand Final. This is Sunday Triple M NRL.
Mate, you need help. Have a look at the way you dress, right? Look at your shoes. John West died like... Or John Wayne. He died like 50
John,
years.
John Wayne.
John West
wore gumboots.
He's been dead since 1979. You'd know that if you came to one of my trivia nights. But, Gordy...
Triple M rocks the footy.
And welcome back to it. We've got Holden Cup underway at the moment. And Penrith Roosters fans, this game's all about you. And thanks to Tyre Power, Panthers. Panthers 28 lead the Roosters 6. Panthers 28 lead the Roosters 6.
I've been a bit hard on all the clubs today, haven't I?
Yeah, you've been a bit of a narc. You have been a bit of a narc, Gordy. Yeah. But look.
You realise I'm only joking.
Tyre Power.
I like all of them.
See, what'd be nice, like, I know you don't care about me and all that, but what'd be nice just one day if you'd let me finish a sentence?
Just
see if we can do it once. Before the year ends.
Okay.
Tyre Power's great race sale gives the
I'll
power...
I'll make sure I will.
That was coming. I saw that coming. You led with your chin there, Maroon.
You're worse than him.
Sorry.
You're bloody worse than him.
I might get an invite back.
Tyre Power's great race sale gives you the power to buy three and get one free on selected Dunlop tyres. See in-store or online. Here is another moment from the 2016 NRL season.
Another Triple M NRL moment from 2016.
Greg Inglis has won countless matches on his own, but a wet Sunday afternoon against the Dragons at the SCG, well, it wasn't one of them.
Going to come down to one last play. They're 30 metres out on the left side. Here it comes down to McInnes, gives it to Inglis. Inglis, did he shoot for field goal? Inglis has shot for field goal on the last play. He's missed, and the game is over.
He must think it's 6-all or 8-all.
I think he's just realised.
Yeah.
I think Greg just realised. He looked at the scoreboard and dropped his head and gone, did I really do that?
GI's bizarre shot at field goal. Yep, one of the moments of 2016.
Yeah. We're broadcasting live thanks to DeWalt, the Flex Vault. The game just changed. Available at Bunnings and Total Tools. Well, I love the element of surprise there. I was actually at the game, but I love the element of surprise in Dan Ganane's voice there, Kenny, where... I don't know what GI was thinking, but he just had a shot for field goal, and it was a bad shot anyway.
Yeah, you're right.
Nothing to add.
I've been in moments in games where a team scored a try and I thought, oh, we're behind now, or you know, we're ahead, yeah. And just totally like no idea what the. Well, you know, you're close, or you know, I get it. I sort of get it.
I walked off most games not knowing what the score was or what we won or where we lost. And because really? Your coach is always, because your coach is always used to say, don't worry about the scoreboard, mate. The bloke up there will do his job just as long as you do yours. And you will hear the hooter go at half time and you'll hear it go at full time and just play every second and every minute. But being a playmaker like Elf, they're the guys that normally look at the clock and the lockie. And I reckon it's just one of those little brain fades that players have in the moments, and I'm pretty sure GI had one at that moment.
I'm really surprised you walked off and didn't know the score when you played.
Well, most of the time we won, so it was a given, Paul.
But, Matty, in the modern...
Mate, you are so...
You can't say that on radio what he is, can you?
I just like getting under Paul's skin for the last time this year because it's crab, mate. His skin's made out of crab meat or crab shell. What? It's pretty hard. You've got to eat it with a hammer.
Let's take a break, take a song. We'll come back with more. A beautiful afternoon in Sydney.
He's like a reptile.
For the Triple M Grand Final lunch. Gordy, would you give us all a break? Just for...
Please.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM... you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this just for you for listening right now. Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract, and Ovo will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G, and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
We are live at the grand final for Telstra Premiership at ANZ Stadium. If you're coming in via the train, where, well, you can't miss us really, or if you're in the brewery or anywhere near the Pullman or the Novotel, just near Gate F, and doing it live thanks to DeWalt.
The members' lounge.
Or the members' lounge there, playing a little bit of putt-putt. Matty Rogers is our special guest today with Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis. Now, my favourite NRL show on TV, not even Paul Kent can destroy it, is NRL 360, which I absolutely love with you, Kenty, and Benny Eich. And you know I'm joking. You know I'm only rattling your cage.
I know you watch America because it's the only thing you ever learn about the game.
True that.
If you watch that to learn about the game, you're in trouble.
But at least they talk footy.
You sit there with the four stooges, eh?
The three four stooges. There's only three of them, Paul.
No, it's four. You're the fourth, Gordon.
Okay, sorry. I thought it was the three stooges.
You're curly. Anyway, through the week on NRL 360, Cameron Smith had this to say about Mickey Ennis.
There's a lot said about Mick and you know the way he tries to get under people's skin, but that's him competing and trying to do the best for his team that he's playing for. We've seen it at club level for multiple clubs that he's played for. We've seen it at State of Origin level when he's playing for the Blues. He'll do anything he can to win the game, and you know that's what the great players do. They go out there and do whatever they can to win the game for their team, and I admire that about him. I try to play a lot of my football the same way.
Is that right? That's a big rap.
For a guy to play as many games as Mick has and to play at the highest level the way he has year after year, it's only guys with special qualities about him to do that.
Yeah, that's courtesy of NRL 360.
Yeah, and very interesting because Mick Ennis is publicly sort of embarrassed and criticised for the way he niggles and gets under opposition team's skin. And here's Cameron Smith, who last week had a little incident off the ball that we all saw, and a lot of us didn't see at the time, but we later saw where he knocked over Jared Croker. And everyone said, well, hang on here. And yet here's Mick coming out, Cameron coming out and basically admitting to admiring the way Mick plays and liking to do a little bit of that himself, which is not what we expect from the clean-skinned Cameron Smith, mostly.
Great honesty, but you know what? I don't think Mick Ennis is embarrassed the way he plays. He loves every minute. He might say, oh, you know, it's not part of the game and I don't go there to do it. He goes out there to do everything. He goes out to get under the skin. I played against a little hooker that played for Cronulla. His name was Dean Treister, and he's the only bloke I knew. I was sitting in the grandstand one day before he even walked in, Paul.
He'll be here today.
And he walked past and he laughed at me and he started... putting shit on me. I thought, I'm going to get that. And all day, he was underneath my skin. It was one of the worst games. So he got me before we even got on the field.
Yeah, well, that's the answer.
And he's still getting people to this day, I can tell you. I spent the last week with him.
Well, mate, and then I sort of was talking to the Sharks boys. I said, what's that dangerous? Yeah. And then every player goes, oh, he's the most annoying bloke I've ever. Well, he used to get me on the field as well.
He's the most annoying bloke. That's a big comment coming from you.
Yeah, exactly.
It must be related to you, Anthony.
The pot calling the kettle black over there. But yeah, I think that competitive nature on the field, you do what you need to do to win within the rules. And if it's getting under someone's skin, if it's niggling, I remember playing against blokes and you knew you could get under their skin. You said a few words here or there, or you know, you knew some things that could bait them, and you do it. You do what you have to do to win a game of footy. And that's...
Don't talk about Adam McDougall that
way. Who are the players today then that you can get at?
Today?
We've already heard said Fifita before.
Fifita, they will go after Fifita today. And Cameron Smith, you know, that interview was probably a perfectly timed interview because he's probably going to niggle Andrew Fifita today. He's probably going to beat Michael Ennis to Andrew Fifita today. Mm. And he said he admires the way he plays. He's strategic, Cameron Smith. As much as, you know, they're very clean skin. You know, Cameron Smith, Cooper Cronk, their interviews, they're very, boring. Cool. A bit similar to their style of football, but you know it gets a job done, and he was strategic in what he was saying then.
Yeah, without going through all the names, you can bait anybody that gets to that thin red line. You know, one of those, you know, those firebrand guys that go out there and they're like that, and they're at that, and they're at the point, you know, when they're super aggressive, you can get them. So like if I was playing, say, the Roosters, I reckon you could probably get under Jared Rhea Hargreaves. And I think if you're playing the Titans, Ryan James, I think you can get something out of. If you're playing the Broncos, well, Josh McGuire, you can get something out of. You know, there's always one player in the club that you can sort of just maybe niggle and get underneath their skin a little bit that might do something to let their team down.
Who do you go after in Melbourne?
You've got to go after their best player.
Yeah.
If you're going after any team.
Can you niggle? Well, I don't think you get flustered.
But you know what? I think you can get under Cameron's skin.
Yeah, How do you do that?
Watch McGuinness try today.
Yeah, but no, how would you do it? Do you do it physically? Do you do it mentally? Do you...
Every time he passes, so every time he comes out of dummy half, and you know how he attracts you and he passes it, you have to put him on the ground. You have to take him out. You have to make him get off the ground 40 or 50 times, and then when he's on the ground, you push his head down and you keep on doing that for the whole game, and you just keep on pushing him down. And it mightn't be you doing it. It's got to be a whole team effort, but it takes energy out of you, because you might be at marker six times, but you've got to get out on the ground with him, Paul, but you've got to make an extra effort to get back on side in the next play and beat him, but you've got to take Cameron out of the game.
Yeah, I think I don't know if that's going to be a great play. If you're hitting him every time he's passing the ball, he's going to be putting people through holes, so I think you've got to be careful how much you commit to
after
him.
There's probably
got to be ways, you know, you got to get under some players' skins, you know, whether it's a couple of their front rowers, you know, Big Bromwich. I mean,
could you get under Bromwich and all those guys?
Yeah, well, mate.
Proctor.
Well,
what
mate,
about
when you've got guys like
Jordan McLean? Yeah, he's a young kid.
Yeah, young. Yeah. You know, and he wants to stamp.
Yeah, but
his
you say he's
authority
young
on this
he's
game.
6'6" and 120 kilos.
Yeah, mate, Fifita's 6'5" and 125. It's going to be in the middle where this game's won and lost. And I mean, you know, I look at a guy like a Jack Bird. I reckon you'd get under his skin if Melbourne were going up the door. He's a fiery character, and that's what makes him great. That's what makes these players great. You know, for Melbourne though, they have got a very well balanced team, and you got to get him in the middle.
It's funny too, because like you talk about cricket, and we obviously know the Australians' reputation for that, and they would get in and they'd find a player to work on and the rest of it. But there are also players too, like, you know, Javed Meendab was one who the rule was you don't try and sledge him or you don't talk to him. You just try and let him keep sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we spoke to Mal Meninga on the show earlier this year. And
he's one bloke.
Another bloke. He just left alone because the last thing you did was you wanted to stir
him.
You didn't want to
wake the Giants.
Exactly. So you just played with that philosophy.
Greg Inglis would be another one of those guys. You just let him go. Every time he plays the ball, you'd pat him on the back and say,
"Good run, mate. Good run, mate.
Good run."
Yeah. Well done.
Good
run.
I tell you something though. That's what Melbourne do very well. Melbourne lull you into this false sense of security where they're all good blokes and they pat you on the back and it's all well done and how are you going and they get the scrums and I know that there are teams this year that when they've played Melbourne they've said to themselves, let's not get in caught in the trap of walking to the first scrum and Cameron
do you reckon Gal has told his team that all these guys are good blokes?
You
reckon Gal has said, mate, Cam Smith, great bloke, you know.
He's given them strict instructions. The minute they come to you with a nice guy act, Tell them to shove it up their backside.
Exactly.
Sunday Triple M NRL is thanks to Bryden's Lawyers. Boys, we've got a score backside. Update. Holden Cup, Panthers 28, Roosters 10.
He doesn't
Panthers
swear, gal.
28, Roosters 10 in Holden Cup. Scotty Sattler is going to join us for a bit of a chat very shortly. We're broadcasting live at ANZ Stadium for the Telstra Premiership. Just as you come off the train, you can't miss us. And more coming up after this as Triple M rocks the footy.
This is Sunday Triple M NRL. Paul Kent, Gordon Tallis, Ryan Girdler and Anthony Maroon. You better watch out! For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future.
You can't win premierships with great wingers.
Didn't our wingers score tries, Maroon? Because they're marked by wingers.
Wingers, you know, they're like muscly touch judges, really. That's what they are.
Triple M rocks the footy.
And welcome back to ANZ Stadium. Panthers 28, Roosters 12 in Holden Cup. That thanks to Tyre Power. Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, our Matty Rogers Maroon will be joined by Scott Sattler very shortly. Right now, though, another magic moment from 2016.
The 2016 Triple M NRL moment.
Well, there wasn't much for Newcastle Knights fans to get excited about this year, although Nathan Ross had his moments, such as this spectacular try in round 17.
A little floater across, the ball's come loose, it might be a knock-on. Play on, says the referee.
Rossi.
Nathan Ross for the corner! Oh, I've never seen anything like that. He has gone 6 feet in the air.
Oh, my goodness. That's a try. What a leap. I've never seen anything like that. That is ridiculous. No way.
Yeah, the Ross dog flying through the air like Superman. One of the moments of 2016.
Sunday Triple M NRL live from ANZ Stadium for the Telstra Premiership Grand Final in 2016. Melbourne and the Sharks live on Triple M. Dan Ganane is your caller tonight. So wherever you go, make sure you've got Triple M on the app at triplem.com.au. Holden Cup is now 28-18. Penrith over the Roosters, that thanks to Tyre Power. Paul Kent, Gordy Tallis, Matty Rogers, Maroon, and our special guest right now, Grand Final great from the 2003 Premiership winning Penrith side, Scotty Sattler. Sats, welcome.
Thanks, guys. It's good to see Gordy with his...
When is it ever good to see Gordy?
The glasses he's got on, actually.
Yeah, they are pretty cool, aren't they?
Do you get them from one of the female supporters? Or...
They make them for men.
Hey, Sats.
Hey, you're poking the bear. You're poking the bear.
Hey, if you want to keep doing it, do it, because Maroon loves it.
Because I can't do it. I can't get away with it.
Talking about earlier about not poking the players in the games, Gordy's one of those players you never used to poke. Hey, you used to pat him on the back and tell him how good he was.
I'll never forget. I made a little break against the Broncos, and it was just after Origin. So we'd been playing together, and I'd ended up back on my hands and knees, and I was sort of crawling. He's come flying across the field, and he's just pointed at me. Stay down. And I looked at him and went, oh, okay. Okay. And then he just stood in front of me. He goes, mate, I just didn't want to have to get down and tackle you. I didn't want to have to get back up.
Scared the Christ out of me. Well, mate, you're a teammate. I didn't want to. We went out a couple more Origins ago.
But hey, Sats, the other day, we did a grand final luncheon for the Rabbitohs together. Yep. And I pointed out to the audience that you'd had 1 year at the Roosters.
Yeah,
and
unfortunately.
Well, it's a very entrepreneurial year for you. Can you tell that yarn about what happened at your year at the Roosters?
Oh, yeah, I signed for 3 years down there. I was going to go back to the South Queensland Crushers, the new team in the second Brisbane team in 1995. And so I had a clause in my contract that says if you didn't like Sydney after 6 months, you could leave. And after 6 days, I knew that I didn't want to be in Sydney. I hated it as a young kid. But my contract had in there that they would pay for my rent. I said, oh, how good's this? So I went to Cronulla and I got this beautiful unit overlooking the water as a 20-year-old. And how good's this? And anyway, you used to get paid 6 monthly back then at the end of July. And remember that? In the end of October?
Geez, it was hard.
It was horrible. And anyway, I got my first pay slip, or your first summary of payment after the first 6 months. And it said, you signed for this month. This is how many games you played. Minus tax, you owe us $180. And I went, well, how's that work? And I said, yeah, you paid for your rent. I said, yeah, you said you were going to pay for my rent. And I said, yeah, we'd pay for it, but it's out of your money. That's what happens when you got your dad as a manager.
Beautiful.
Hey, Sats, so we just heard, you know, Matty talking about his dad, and, you know, like it's the most famous name, and your dad's just the same. Did you embrace it, or did you find it hard running out on the field with, you know, the Sattler name?
Yeah, it's funny. I was watching Matty when he did the Sterlo interview, and I embraced it. I thought it was great. You know, I thought you could use it to your advantage, couldn't you?
Yep,
when you played
absolutely.
In games, and especially in your juniors, you knew that your name was going to stand out. So then it was up to you to try and play the best you possibly could, getting picked in rep teams, whatever it may be. But yeah, I really embraced it. I love what he stood for in the game, his values, and and his attributes, and I just tried to follow suit more or less off the field. I was never going to be like him on it, but off the field I more or less tried to emulate him as much as possible.
Did he tell you the story about the most famous when he broke his jaw? Did he ever sit down and talk you through that, or what actually
happened?
Well,
I didn't realise how famous he was, and I don't know about you, Matty. I didn't know how famous he was in rugby league circles until I was sort of in my early teens or 9 or 10 or something like that, going to State of Origin games and watching him stop every 5 or 6 steps. I was saying, what do people want to talk to him for? But I grew up, when I got to an age where I appreciated it, you know, every time the Queensland State of Origin was played up at Lang Park Suncorp Stadium, all his South teammates used to come up and they used to all have a lunch. And so as a kid at the pub, that whatever pub we owned and we lived in, I used to sit at the end of the... And you would have been no different sitting at the end of the... at the bar and listening to all these old stories from the 60s and 70s. So, you know, listening to that story about the 1970 Grand Final and all everything they did as a team and as a forward pack, that great South team of the 60s and 70s, just became part of my everyday conversation with those sort of players.
Yeah, you're right. And you know, as growing up with my dad, he was dad. He wasn't a famous footballer. Yeah. He was just dad until you went to the football, and then, you know, all of a sudden you lost your dad because you were swarmed by a pack of kids. And that's when you start to realise, oh, he must have done all right. And actually, even when I was, you know, graded at Cronulla and I started playing, you probably still don't appreciate it until you're in the mix.
Yeah.
And then you can see what they've done and you start to really get it. Because you're trying to do it, and you know how hard it is, and you know, my old man captained Australia, and you know, played in captain New South Wales, and you just think, wow, you know, that's next level stuff, and you know, makes you certainly appreciate it a whole lot more.
Sats, what about over the years, the 2003, the legendary tackle that you made when the Panthers beat the Roosters in the grand
final?
Stop
it, Gordy.
Lucky,
I got a story about that.
Lucky he stumbled, that's what I can say.
It's like...
Can I tell you a story about that, Efren?
Well, of course you can.
We're at Penrith one day, and then we're sitting in the box, and we're calling a game for, like, Fox Sports, and, like, all the Cronulla fans here, all the Panthers fans are going, they're just waving to him and pointing up, and they're all laughing, and Sats is, you know, just behind a glass. Oh, look at that. Jeez, they love me out here. Jeez, they love me, mate. They still love me. Look at this. Yeah, I'm the king of Penrith and all that. We had put a sign up. That's right. It was the 54th minute. You know, Mr. 54, Scott Sattler. So they're all reading the sign up there pointing. And Sats thought that they were all just pointing and waving to him. So, but it was a great moment, wasn't it? It was like one of those iconic moments that I think every forward wanted to do. Not every probably back wants to do that, but every four.
Well, mate, I watched that tackle and Toddy, but he stumbled as he picked the ball up, and it just gave you that opportunity to get to him. And
also the world's slowest winger.
Well, we're not talking about the fastest back rower either, let me tell you.
Thanks, Kenny. You take off. I bet you I can still catch you. But in saying that, Johnny Lang, and you had a lot to do with Johnny Lang, Matty, and you were talking about off air, you're saying you sort of by default
felt it was like a surrogate premiership for me.
There's so many Cronulla people involved. But Langer used to actually prepare me. When he first came to the club, he said, listen, as a 13, I want you every time the ball's on the opposite side of the field, late in the tackle, I just want you to wander in behind just in case you need it. And that's him coming from his old school days, I think. And so I just did that week in, week out for the years that he was there. And then fortunate enough for me, on my last game for Panthers, it worked out for me, just doing
you
it
needed.
Week in, week out. Yeah, so it was a, you know, I think we all agree that we just do things because we're expected to do them in whatever game you play, whether it's a grand final, and we've all been faced with those sort of situations. But I loved it that the reaction of your teammates after it. It's that's what I get a real buzz out of.
Yeah, and mate, what about today? Who do you like today?
Well, because I'm wearing a purple shirt, it's obviously Storm. I think in these big games, you. If you make the least amount of errors, you complete the most amount of sets, you play the most controlled game, I think you win the grand finals. I think Cronulla, they've done a great job. And obviously to win 15 in a row, you're a special side. But you know, they are also one of the sides that do come up with the most amount of unforced errors in the competition. I think that hurts you in games like this. And if they try and get into this game in the first 10 to 15 minutes just by completing their sets so they can build a good platform for them, I think the Melbourne Storm get the ability to really gather the control of the game.
What do you say then, Sats, about last week when they played Canberra, who were also a side with a lot of unforced errors in them, but they throw some football at you, and yet Melbourne only got home by 2 points?
Yeah, and it's a good point you make, Kenty, but I just think they always talk about, it doesn't matter whether they're 2 behind or 20 behind, they just back their defence. Even if they were two points ahead the other night, like they were against the Raiders, I just think they always know that they've got everything in control, and they just never get flustered, they never get frustrated. And that's why I think in these big games, and it goes against everything I believe in, because we went in 2003, hadn't won one since 91. We had a group of these really young players. We had six 19-year-olds and 20-year-olds in the side. So it goes against everything that I believe in. But
you just don't like Cronulla.
Well, and that also, in some cases.
All right, Sunday Triple M.
Because
NRL.
That was a unit that he was written.
Yeah, exactly. What he was exactly.
Don't finish that sentence.
Can you, pardon? No, I can't. Yeah, I never. Matty, this is the same every week. Can you hang around, Sat?
Yeah, absolutely.
What you find is he cuts us off.
Oh, mate. If I don't, we'll be here till Christmas if I don't cut you off.
He's a control freak.
Gordon, just some people are getting married today, believe it or not. They've picked today to get married, like Lindsay and Cameron. They're getting married.
Cameron, you need to harden up, son.
Yeah, you do, mate. You need to harden up. And Hayley, who's a mate of my mad Shark supporter, can't be here because she's got to go to her sister's wedding. That's a whole other topic. What do you pick, the wedding or the Sharks grand final?
It's easy.
Footy. Hey?
Mm. Anyway, good on you guys. All
James
the best for your wedding.
His brother gets married today.
Fair income.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Mate, my brother booked a 10-day holiday 3 months ago, and he's in Queensland right now. He's flying down for the game, but I'm like, mate, what are you thinking? Like, one of our best Sharks teams we've ever had, he's flown to Queensland. He's staying at my house.
Sunday Triple M NRL. It's time for a break. Penrith 28, lead the City Roosters 18. That score, thanks to Tyre Power, that's Holden Cup. Penrith 28, Roosters 18. Sats is going to hang around. Sats, Kenty, Matty Rogers and Gordy Tallison Maroon back with more right after this.
Triple M rocks the NRL Grand Final. After an epic NRL season 2016,
Triple M rocks the NRL.
It all comes down to this.
Sharks Storm.
One match, one moment, one play could decide it all. In one corner, the young Melbourne Storm, the club who have proved themselves to be grand final specialists.
And here come the Storm!
In the other corner, the Cronulla Sharks. 50 years, no titles.
Oh, the Sharks!
You gotta love your rugby league.
Download the Triple M NRL app and listen to every moment of the game.
Take it up!
Triple M rocks the NRL Grand Final.
Triple M NRL.
We're gonna take it all.
Thanks to Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
And welcome back to it. It's Sunday Triple M NRL live for the Grand Final at ANZ Stadium, the Telstra Premiership. It's a wonderful atmosphere outside the ground. So if you're still arriving, make sure you come and say g'day to Triple M. We're doing it thanks to DeWalt with Paul Kent, Gordy Tallis, Matty Rogers, Scott Sattler and Maroon. Bit of a comeback in the Holden Cup with 28-22 now. Penrith leading the Roosters 28-22. That score all thanks to Tyre Power. Plenty to come. And of course, we'll broadcast the game for you live right across the Triple M network. So make sure you stay listening. Matty Rogers has been our special guest. We're going to lose him in about 20 minutes' time. So just before we do go, he's got a good yarn, or before he goes, a good yarn about when you were, your first child was born.
And, 20 years ago.
And you had a couple of pests playing on the front lawn at your place.
Mate, I used to live in a little town called Yarrawarra in the Shire, just next to Engadine. And about five doors up was a little kid named Chad Townsend. Him and his mates, literally, every afternoon on the weekends after their games, they'd come and they'd play in my front lawn waiting for me to come out and kick a footy with them. I used to do it a bit, but it got to the point where I almost had to go and see their parents and go, listen, I've got a newborn baby. Like, they're making too much racket. I'll come and get them. I'll call you sort of thing. But look, he's developed into a great young footballer, Chad. And you could see, you know when you see kids and you just go, that guy wants it. He's going to be a footballer, kid. He was that kid amongst all his friends. And, mate, absolute joy to watch him going well.
Where did he get that crop of hair from, mum or dad?
It's awesome, isn't
it? It's good hair.
The eyes, it is good. It is good looking hair. But I think the best thing that happened to Chad was he got out of the Shire for a while. He grew as a footballer, and he's come back as a better player.
Mm. He's exactly what they need too. Shane Flanagan's been very clever the way he's recruited his side together. And last year, he knew there was a real problem there about scoring points. They went out and they got Townsend back, who's developed as a player, and then obviously James Maloney just fell into their lap. They couldn't believe their luck when they got him. But it's just been the difference in them from one year to the next. It turned them into true premiership threats.
Well, you've got the controller, haven't you, in Townsend, and you've got the runner in Maloney. You've got to have that good mix, haven't you?
Yeah.
A little bit like 2006 when they had Perry as the halfback and Lockyer was the runner. He did everything. Where Perry just got into field positions, that's what Townsend does.
Yeah, and James Maloney's such a polished 5'8". If you go through the strengths and weaknesses of the 5'8" throughout the competition, he's one of the few that's got He ticks all the boxes as far as his kicking game, his running game, and his organising. He can do all three depending on what's needed at the time.
I'll tell you what, I think his best attribute is tough.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
He gets belted. He takes the ball to the line. He plays like Gavin Miller used to play back in the 80s, just taking the ball to the line, getting absolutely bashed, gets back up, runs back into the line, does it again and again. His toughness, I think, you know, I think the team around him grow a leg off it because he's a tiny bloke. Yeah. He's not a big fella. Mm. They see what he puts his body through and he keeps coming forward.
You want to hope he doesn't look like Gavin Miller when he retires.
Mate, he's looking all right, Gav. He's looking all right, Gav.
Yeah, he looks better now than he did when he played.
Luke Lewis was a really good-looking young winger. His head is battered now. It is battered.
Well, what about... We had James Mulaney the other night on...
have a look at me.
We had James Mulaney the other night on 360 playing for Melbourne. He looks the same then as he did now, as he does now. It's 40-20, isn't he?
Benjamin Button.
World's oldest 20-year-old.
Hey, fellas, lucky beauties under your light switch away.
See, I almost interrupted you then, Gordy. That's a whole new thing. I interrupted you.
I got a bit of goal, but you always cut me off.
Yeah. Well, we could say it again. Go on. If anyone who missed it, what he said was...
Well, I said beauty's only a light switch away, but you can be ugly to the bone, can't you, Mira?
Well, I like how you were pointing out about Gavin Miller's looks. I mean, you are Gordon Tallis, so you know. Okay. Some players retiring today. Let's just give
the
you
brown
their names.
Shrek.
Old Gorilla Biscuit.
We've got...
That's not funny, guys. Ugly people have feelings too, you know.
All right. Players retiring today. Mick Ennis, Jack Reed, Sam Perrott, Glenn Hall, Ben Cray, Anthony Watmo, Dean Halitau, Glenn Buttress, Luke Douglas, Ali Lauer-Titi still playing.
Play for the Warriors.
Dinkum. Yeah. James McManus, Jeremy Smith. There's a couple of others, but... it's been a long haul for some of these players, and it's amazing stats, isn't it? I know you got to go, so I'll ask you this question. A bloke like Mick Ennis, who could fair dinkum go out a hero here today, versus somebody like, you know, for the sake of the argument, someone like James McManus, who kind of just, with no disrespect, fizzled away in the end, if I can say that.
Yeah, well, I suppose you want to try and retire on your own terms, don't you? You want to be able to call the day and be able to walk off the field, whether you win, lose, or draw, and you get to thank the fans, your family, whatever it may be. But if you finish it due to injury, that's a little bit harder to take. So Mick Ennis gets to go out,
we
again, win, lose, or draw, probably better than what most players get to do, and that's in the biggest dance.
There's the best Cronulla jersey here so far, the Powers. Old Powers. And it's a real one, too.
You know why? Because Powers is a Queensland, Queensland brewery, so he's happy that Cronulla put Powers on their shirts.
Old Bernie Powers, it's the oldest one in the best condition, and it's number 14, too, so you obviously didn't make the starting side.
Mate, somebody went through before with an Aussie duck, the Sharkies jersey with Aussie ducked on it. And somebody went through with a Sharks jersey with clean away on it, which I think is like from the 70s.
Has anyone got the Sharks jersey that had nothing on the front? Remember that? Fisherman's Friend? Or
CSFC.
Well, things have changed for them. We're going to take a break and come back with more, and we'll get some score updates for you. But a beautiful afternoon. Bring your sunscreen. Slip, slop, slap if you're heading to ANZ Stadium for the grand final this afternoon. Here is another grand final moment from, great moment from the season in 2016.
A 2016 Triple M NRL moment.
Sometimes the most memorable moments happen after the game. Like the Sunday afternoon, the Gordon Tallis. Well, he just lost it.
What are you laughing at, Gordon? What's he laughing at?
I don't know, but I want him to try and explain this. Come on, Gordy. Okay. This is great radio.
I got to gather my thoughts.
I hope everyone is listening is laughing.
Gordy and the Giggles, one of the magic moments for Triple M of 2016.
Triple M rocks the NRL Grand Final.
And we are at ANZ Stadium thanks to DeWalt, who have sent us out here today. And of course, DeWalt always available at Bunnings and Total Tools. Total Tools are a great mob. They love Triple M as well. Make sure you say good day to us just outside Gate F. Well, the grand final getting closer and closer. And Matty Rogers, our special guest, we've got to let you go. So before we do, the Sharks have played 1,196 games since April 2, 1967. But none more important than this game tonight. Who wins it? Who the key players? Who's going to win it for your guys?
Mate, the game's one in the middle. I mean, we can talk about the Val Holmeses and the Ben Barbers, but unless we're dominating the middle of the ruck, and Michael Ennis has to have the game of his life tonight, I think we need to dominate, get forward, get over the advantage. We need to play second phase play. We need to have Fifita to have a big game. We need Gallen to have a big game. We need offloads, because if we lose the wrestle, it takes Ennis out of the game. If Ennis is out of the game, the Sharks can't win.
If we dominate that ruck area by we play second phase play, we can move them around a bit, we get quick play the balls, Ennis is then taking the ball to the line, that's where we win the game. That's when you see your Barbers come into it, that's when you see your Val Holmeses come into it. If it's a battle up the middle, it'll be a long day for Cronulla. I think we need to shift the ball around a bit and move the Melbourne Storm around. But, you know, for mine, I think Andrew Fifita's got to have the game of his life. I think Mike Leonard's got to have the game of his life, and we win the game.
Well, what's it going to be like in the Shire, Matty, if they don't get the chocolates today? What's it going to be like when you head back over the Captain Cook Bridge?
You know what? I can guarantee you all these fans are as proud as punch. Are you proud of your team already? But we're going to win, right?
Because Gordy Tallis reckons they've all hung on to their receipts for Peter Wynn's score, and if the Sharkies lose, they're going to take the jumpers back. Gordy Tallis, you're a grub even suggesting that, mate.
I would like when I said that, to be replayed.
Well, Gordon Tallis, mate, he's a man from... He goes from team to team.
Oh, it doesn't
mate, collect
work.
A dollar after dollar.
Well, I'll give you the tip. Hey. The number one team in Queensland, right, is Brisbane. Number two is Cowboys. Number three is the Titans. And the Storm is the fourth side in Queensland. We all know that.
Well, we do know that. But mate, you were born up in North Queensland.
Yeah, I'm a Cowboys fan.
So you play for the Broncos, and now you're a Titan ambassador. You've got a foot in every camp, haven't you?
Yeah, Broncos X and Titans ambassador. How good am I going?
Killing it.
And a Melbourne Storm number one ticket holder in Queensland.
You still managed to miss a start today.
Yes, Matty. Yeah, good point, Kenty. Good point. Matty, all the best, mate. I know you've got other commitments. We're going to let you go.
I do, but look, to all the Sharks fans out there, you know, just meeting you all out here right now, I can feel the energy. I can feel that, you know, there's desperation in some people's voices out there, and rightly so. It's been so long. You know, you see some of these kids coming onto the grand final. They're 8 or 9 years old. Lucky them. They've only had to wait 8 or 9 years, but a lot of us have been waiting a lot longer than that. Let's hope today's the day we break this hoodoo and we get the monkey off the back.
Good on you, Matty. Thanks for dropping by, mate, and all the best for the rest of the day, and good luck.
Cheers, guys.
Matty Rogers joining us on Sunday Triple MNRL. Now, Paul Kent, the Holden Cup, what about this? The Roosters were trailing 28-6. Now the Roosters lead the Panthers 30-28 with 45 seconds to go. That's a massive comeback.
A massive comeback, but it says everything about...
It's an upset too, isn't it, Paul?
Yeah, it is an upset. Yeah. The Penriths have been the form side all year and really dominated all season long. The Roosters, there is a quiet confidence about the Roosters that come the next couple of years, they will really be back in finals contention because they've got good young crop of kids coming through. Blood a little bit too many this year. But they're certainly in a very heavily in the development phase at the moment. So well done to the Roosters, though, because I tell you what, that's a massive comeback. But again, says everything you can say about Holden Cup, doesn't it? When you lead by that and surrender it.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. There's about 5 seconds to go there, so we'll have the full-time score for you in just seconds. Now, this next game, of course, the Cutters and the Bears. Just quickly, boys, we will have score updates for you for this game, but I'll just get the teams up for that one as well. He's having a little bit of trouble with our computer here. So while I'm waiting for that, let's look back on the season that was 2016. Plenty of big stories, plenty of big headlines, as there always is in rugby league. Kenty, is there one that kind of stands out for you?
For this season?
Yeah.
Oh, look, the biggest story. Look, this has been a pretty ordinary year for the NRL. I had a coffee with John Grant earlier in the week, who's the commissioner, and we spoke about it, and he's as stunned as anybody, really, that we've had to put up with so much this year. Clearly, the biggest story all year was Parramatta and what happened there. And Parramatta was just a calamity of errors from one to the next. It began with a salary cap, and we all know how that turned out. And then they lost their points. And then Corey Norman got himself into some trouble. Then Kieran Foran left the club, and it just turned one disaster into the next. And you know, if you're talking about what clubs have had to go through to try and, you know, survive seasons at different times, Parramatta have put about four into one season.
Yeah.
That's been, and I'm really disappointed for the Parramatta club and the fans. It has been bad. I think in some respects the NRL were quite lenient in the way they handled it. Yep. In fact, I think most other clubs were quite angry within the game about how lenient the NRL was towards Parramatta. But hopefully the lesson out of this is that we just don't go down this track again. I'm sure at some point, sometime into the future, someone else will get caught cheating the salary cap. But you just hope with every time a team gets caught and gets rubbed out, that it makes the teams think a little bit harder about doing it next time.
Let's to just elaborate a little bit on it. And we talk about the effect and how we feel for the Parramatta supporters, the paid and proud members of that club. Not only, Kenty, did they have the salary cap drama, but they had players misbehaving off field. They signed big names like Kieran Foran, who asked to get out. They had Semi Radradra went to Fiji and then looked like he wasn't going to come back. They've had to release Nathan Peets, who now plays for the Gold Coast Titans. They had to release Junior Paulo to play for the Raiders. Just when you thought it could not possibly get any worse for a Parramatta supporter, every time you picked up the paper, it was another thing. And just quickly, for those people who then email me, I'm not having a crack at Parramatta, okay?
No, but it's all fair because every club has gone through something, you know, and our fans are so resilient, our games, but we can't keep on asking for them to hang around, Paul. And I think, you know, Parramatta this year, hopefully that every club goes, oh, that's not our club. Hopefully they all look at it and go, well, how, you know, we've got to make sure that something like this doesn't happen at our club because our fans, look how wonderful it is. It's a great day. It's a perfect day in Sydney, and this and our fans and members are so good to the greatest game of all, what I believe, and then sometimes it just keeps on, you know, finding a way to knock them back and knock them down, and you know, so they give it up.
But this is where the commission has got to step in, and more importantly, I believe the clubs have got to step in, and they've got to start holding each other accountable, because as embarrassing as this season is for Parramatta and the way that they've handled their business, it's also embarrassing for the game as a whole, and it's also damaging for the game as a whole. And there's no doubt that we could have had more and more sponsors and more fans coming to the games if not having to deal with this week-to-week and day-to-day drama that we just continue to generate within our own game. And standards have got to be driven from within. That's what it's about. And that's, you look at all the successful franchises, you look at the successful codes around the world, it's always driven from within the culture. And as a game, our culture's not strong enough that when one club is caught cheating and deliberately cheating, and the other clubs don't sit in and say, mate, not good enough, not good enough. You're embarrassing all of us here. And that's where we need to get. And you know, this could have been such a good season for Parramatta. The records in there today, Cronulla are trying to break their premiership drought today. It's their 50th season.
Up. Cronulla.
Beyond that, though, the longest premiership drought in the competition is Parramatta. Parramatta have now gone 30 years without a grand final victory.
Yeah.
That is a long, long time. And in fact, when Parramatta finally broke the bank in 1981 and everyone said, beauty, they've finally broken that drought and won their premiership, that was only after a drought of 34 years. So Parramatta are four seasons away from that again.
Just before I just interrupt you quickly, Kenny, the full-time score in Holden Cup, Roosters came back from 28-6 down to win the game 30-28. So Roosters have won the Holden Cup. That score is all thanks to tyre power. Mm. You know what surprised me, fellas? That we got through that entire season. I think we got till the end, till a coach was replaced. And sometimes there you wonder with the dramas we had at certain clubs, by geez, you wonder how certain coaches did survive the whole year.
No, well, I think for years they've given the players a fair bit of power, but they realise that the players aren't as smart and aren't as intelligent as what they are, and I think they got to be accountable. The coach is there for a reason. The people who employ him, they're employing because he's the best man for the job that they think then. And most of the time, I think that they should see out the season, and there's no reason why changing halfway through. It's the players changing their attitude, I believe, is one of the biggest things that should happen. You know what I mean? And the club we're talking about is the Warriors. And that is the coach's graveyard. How many coaches have gone there? How many great coaches have gone there that have got... And
well, I think that's why McFadden was given so long, because they realise it's not always the coach's fault at that club. And that, in fact, you need to give the coach a little bit of time to try and get the players to work, but clearly it hasn't happened. Steve Kearney, look, it'll be interesting how it goes next year with Steve Kearney, because I'm not sure that he... I know he's brought in he is the national coach, but he's still got a little bit of work for me to show that he's the right man, and not because I wonder who the right man is at the Warriors.
But
to be
wouldn't
honest.
You think, Paul, that they would have been in their best interest to go out and spend $700,000, $800,000, $900,000, whatever it costs for a blue chip coach? Wouldn't it have been better for them to go out and try and get a Trent Robinson or a Madge or a Des Hasler or a Craig Bellamy, and somebody who they absolutely know 100% is going to turn the place around?
Oh, look, yeah, that sounds reasonable. In fact, it's probably the way that they could have done it, and in a perfect world they would have done it. But could they have got one of those coaches? Probably not. So what they've done, Maroons, they've put their faith in Steve Kearney. What I would like to see the Warriors do is get away from this idea that they have to have a roster filled with New Zealand players. Yeah, the Australian clubs don't sit there and say, we only want Australian players, so we won't recruit from England or New Zealand. They just take the best man available. And I know that there are some Australian players at the Warriors, but there is very much a mentality there of Kiwi first, Australia second, if that's the way we have to recruit.
But I don't mind that.
No,
they've got a whole country to pick from, so
yeah,
I
don't think they can win doing it that way, Gordon. I don't think their players are developed mentally and
they won a World Cup with all New Zealand players against Australia.
Yeah, but that was short term, and we all know they can go on a run because they're so talented. But I just don't think that they are tough enough. They are bred tough enough to go week to week in NRL football. And when I say, I mean coming through their junior football systems. Yeah. I don't think you talk to players that have played over there, that have come through there, and they'll talk to you about how the talent wins out over there. Whereas here in Australia, in our junior reps, whether it's Queensland or New South Wales, it's not just talent. You've got to have a little bit of toughness to get through as well. And that toughness is often what stands you in good stead once you get to NRL level. Yeah. And unfortunately for the Warriors, their talent is so much.
Because they're so big. They're so talented. Yeah. But once they get to
the point where their talent's no longer enough,
yeah,
and they need to go back and find a bit of toughness, they're already at NRL level.
What about some of the heavy hitters of the last couple of years? Certainly not this year, but the Rabbitohs and the Roosters, who both had really below average seasons this year.
They'll both be back.
Do you think they'll both bounce back?
Yeah, I think the Roosters towards the end of the season started to turn a few things around. And South Sydney, it was 1 point in the year. I don't know who they played. They played the Raiders and got flogged. And then from that moment on, I thought they'd had to go. GI got suspended for 3 weeks, I think, for a shoulder charge. When he come back in a bit fresher, I thought South's back end of the season was quite good. And I think that is a fair bit of optimism looking for next year. And obviously same with the Roosters.
Yeah, and Roosters have just won the 20s premiership. So they've obviously got some good kids there at the club. And as you said, Gordy, the Roosters had an unusual year. They got off to a poor start. No Mitchell Pearce, no Warrior Hargraves, and no Boyd Cordner. And for the first 8 rounds, that's how they had to play. Now, when you already take out Tuivasa Sheku left, who else left? James Maloney left, and
Sonny Bill
Jennings.
Jennings was the third from last year. There's six starters from last year who weren't there in the first 9 rounds this year. And what the result of that was they
Boyd
lost
Cordner was injured.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Hargreaves was injured right at the beginning of the year as well.
And
Mitchell Pearce didn't play for the first 8 rounds.
All right, boys.
So there's a few excuses.
Sunday Triple M NRL live from ANZ Stadium for the Telstra Premiership Grand Final. The boys are going to grab a limited edition 4-20 Triple M Chicken Palmer footy pie.
They're the best.
So if you want to get one as well, go to Coles Express. Maybe you can chow down on 3 or 4.
How good are they?
Oh, they really... You can't have one. You've got to throw a couple in the Mikey at home and just nuke them up. Rip the top off a long neck.
Do you take the plastic off them? Because you don't.
No, I don't
peel
take
your
the
prawns.
Plastic. I just
because you don't peel the prawns.
I
so
take
I
the plastic
asking.
Off when it comes out of the Mikey, but when it's in the Mikey,
yeah.
This is what I do, right, Gordy? Now that you ask, I strip down an undies and a t-shirt.
That's right.
A couple of 4
Jackie Hill,
pardon?
Jackie Hill or a t-shirt?
No, a t-shirt. Yeah, t-shirt and undies. Get a long neck out of the fridge. Get a 4-20 chicken parma pie, and I sit down in the lounge and watch reruns of NRL 360 with Ben Eichen. And I say, how good's this?
Life can't get much better.
Sunday Triple M NRL. Matt Rogers got the boys to the crowd to sing up Cronulla, and it went something like this.
Up Cronulla.
Live.
The boys in the black, white, and
this is the crowd singing up Cronulla.
Up Cronulla.
Led by Matt Rogers.
They don't even know the song. That
sharks,
me.
Sharks forever.
Yeah.
Well done, guys. Well done.
Triple M rocks the NRL Grand Final.
Sunday Triple M NRL live at the Grand Final. Some Storm fans finally starting to arrive. Where are all the Sharky supporters, though? Yeah, it's a fair dinkum Sharkathon here at the moment.
Where are all the Storm members?
Where's all the Storm fans? Yeah, there's a few here at the moment, but they are a little outnumbered.
Yeah, they're outnumbered probably
6-1.
I'd say 8-2.
See, he's got to disagree with me. If I'd have said 8, he'd have said 6. Boys, let's go to another magic moment from the season of 2016.
Another Triple M NRL moment from 2016.
Three straight one-point epics in their previous contests meant there was little chance the Cowboys-Broncos knockout final could be as good. Well, it wasn't. It was better.
First at dummies, straight through, inside pass. Yes, yes, yes. Morgan's over. Cowboys in front. Oh, Jonathan Thurston. What about that? The show, the go, the Benji flick pass. Morgan's in. Another finals try. And 1300 smiles goes berserk.
The Cowboys-Broncos extra time epic. One of the magic moments. Perhaps the most magical moment of 2016.
Yeah, well, that was some game, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's the game that our game. I think we can promote our game on that all around the world. It was absolutely fantastic. The style that Brisbane and Cowboys play against each other, it's just one that brings out the best. What was it, four games that went to 1 point? And obviously that was that was one of my favourite games of the year in the way finals footy. And the way I like watching rugby league, I think there wouldn't be a rugby league fan. And as you saw by last year's grand final, I think it was the highest rating game of the year, which it normally is, but it's a great style of football, Paul.
Yeah, well, look, obviously there's not a lot of wrestling in that game. Both teams tend to move away and prefer quick play of the balls and get on with it. And if you don't like that game, you're not a rugby league fan.
Yeah, no, that was one for the purists. Guys, we're 5 minutes away. I won't spend too much time on this, but it's a game that's got my interest. The Intrust Super State Championship. I love this
concept.
Go
the Burley Bears.
Cutters versus the Bears. Just a couple of blokes in both these sides that have got a bit of first-grade experience. For the Cutters, Adam Quinlan, Kurt Mann, Tane Milne, of course, Levi Dodd, Khalifa Fifi-Law, Drew Hutchinson, Josh McCrone, Jacob Host, Saliva Havili. And for the Bears, Curtis Rowe, Semi Saluma, who played, I think, for the Sharks a couple of years back, Cameron Cullen, Pat Politano, these are some guys, Lachlan Burr, obviously, and Nathaniel Petteru. So it should be a good game of footy. You're a fan of this concept, are you, Gordy?
Absolutely love it. I'm always the Queensland Cup, the Intrust Super Club Queensland Cup was played last week. It was a great game, Redcliffe versus the Burley Bears, and obviously, you know, the Cutters. Who did the Cutters end up beating?
Last week, Mounties.
So, and I think it's a great concept, and then they come and they find out and they fly here. It's you know, to play your grand final and not be able to celebrate and come here and play this. I watched the Pride, who were 7-1 underdogs against Penrith in the first year, and then last year it was Ipswich playing against Newcastle, and I think it's a fantastic concept for all the, you know, steps leading into the NRL, and I'm pretty sure that the players will love it to play on the biggest day of the NRL calendar. I think it's something that we've got right. Do you think, Paul?
Yeah, I think it's a great concept. It'd be difficult, I think, winning your grand final and having to get up for a game a week later. And I think that'll be telling a little bit today. The Cutters, their coach, and forgive me, I've forgotten his name, but he coached the Pride in their first year it happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And they came down and they beat
Demetrio.
They beat Penrith in that first year, and he
did you just make that
prepared
name
them
that?
Very, very well. Now, he is the coach of the Cutters today, and I think that the Cutters have come here today. Obviously, New South Wales have lost the past two games, so I think there's a bit of a point to prove today, and I like the fact that they're here to win the game. And I was talking to Gordon earlier off air. There's a little bit of mail around that the Burley Bears have spent the week celebrating their grand final. So how their preparation goes, who knows? Gordon thinks, or tends to think, it might keep them relaxed, which I'm sure is true.
See, but there is something...
Very relaxed.
There is something
very,
about...
Very, very relaxed.
This concept. There is something about this concept that we're seeing today, this Super State Championship, that reminds me a little bit of the quality of the game when we used to have the good old reserve grade, which was littered with players on their way to first grade or players coming back from first grade. But, you know, we're old enough to remember the old reserve grade style of footy, and it was more often than not good footy to watch.
Oh, it was good footy because you had the old and the new. Yeah, it was a perfect combination. You had players who were towards the end of their careers but had experience and a little bit of guile about their game, and then you had the kids coming through who had all the talent but still needed to learn some things. So it was a very good combination of football. One thing I will say, I know that Fox Sports is actually thinking about bringing in and televising a competition. I'm not quite sure of how the concept will work yet, but it will involve the Intrust super teams, which from New South Wales and Queensland, where they'll play each other throughout the season and hopefully be played like on a Wednesday night or a Tuesday night, like the old midweek tournament we used to have. And I think what is also very important is that we take these teams for what they are and we develop them as their own personalities rather than say, well, you know, this is a put everybody's following into Manly or Parramatta or Newcastle or Melbourne or Cronulla, you can also come and follow one of these teams from whatever area you're from, and they have their own competition, and it can generate a little bit of their own interest.
And what I like about it is when Ipswich won with their unconventional style of rugby league, all their players got rated and they got a second chance in the NRL, or their first chance. And last year, the Pride happened, and last year with the Ipswich it happened. And this year, some of these guys that aren't playing NRL, they're playing on a big stage. Everybody's watching. Like, there's an opportunity. It's like a little NRL trial for someone that stands up on grand final day.
Ipswich won last year. They lost 9 of their 17 from the grand final this year. 3 retired, 6 were poached by NRL clubs. That's what it can do for them. And you'd think that this year they'll be looking to these two teams when they run out today. Players there will be looking to do the same thing again.
That's all thanks to Mongrel Boots, Aussie born and bred. New scuff cap boots are now available to suit every trade. Mongrel Boots are Aussie born and bred. If you're thinking you might streak today at the footy, just strip that, take everything off and just keep wearing your Mongrel Boots. Very shortly, we've got our grand final preview live from ANZ Stadium.
At least I'll keep you warm in the cell.
And it's all thanks to DeWalt. Guaranteed tough and available at Bunnings. Back with more after this.
A 2016 Triple M NRL moment.
Canterbury season fizzled out, but there was one moment for the Dogs which their fans can take pride in. When Moses Mbai produced one of the all-time great final try savers.
Oh, it's kicked by Mbai straight to Watene's Lesniak. Who's going to stop him? Mbai chasing. Watene's Lesniak. 40 to go. 30 to go. Mbai gained it. Mbai got him. And now Watene's Lesniak gets up. 10 to go. Goes for it.
That's
it. Mbai got him a second time.
Mbai's last-ditch tackle, one of the magic moments of 2016.
And we've got a couple of tweets coming through here. One's from a young fella named Chris, and it says, getting myself pumped for the grand final, I ran along Byron Beach screaming, Sharks! But no one was very happy. Must be a storm town. That's very, very clever.
I like when you make it up. It's very funny.
Also, a good one here from a chap by the name of Drew, who's listening in from Cessnock, which is the John's boys' hometown. And it says, Gordy had an interesting recipe the other day for spaghetti bolognese. I'm about to throw a couple of steaks on the barbie. Has he got a good steak recipe?
Yeah, don't overcook it, son.
What do you reckon, Gordy? Like, what, one side drink?
Well, it depends how thick the cut is.
Okay, well, elaborate for us, for God's sake.
So turn the barbecue on, have a stubby, it gets hot enough, and then just sear it until it probably gets about... it all depends how thick it is. About 2 mil in, and then turn it over, and then I normally take it off and wrap it in a bit of alfoil and sit it up on top of the heat for about 10 minutes.
Okay, all right, let's now turn our attention to rugby league.
Can I just talk about rugby league? I think the NRL have done absolutely fantastic. So we've sat here on a few grand final days, and obviously we're lucky to see and watch the atmosphere build, but, you know, with all the fans walking in and all the fan zones and members, I actually think I think they've done a fantastic job. It actually feels like grand final. You walk in here and just the atmosphere and all. And you know what, And it should happen because it is the home of the Sharks, but the Sharks have outnumbered the Storm. I'm seeing so many light blue jerseys, it's unbelievable. It's a bit like Origin, isn't it? They got that Origin colour.
Boys,
want to hope it's not the same result.
We've got 10 minutes together for the remainder of the year, and I can't tell you how sad I am about that.
I've got mixed emotions because it's the last time I'm going to see you for about 20 weeks, which I'm quite happy about, but I like spending time with Paul.
Well, that's somebody's got to like spending time with him, and that's his lovely daughter does, and you do. So that's two people. That's a good start, Paul.
Yeah. I'm glad there's not three there, Maroon, because you'd be it.
All right, let's have a look at this game. 10 minutes to go for the season. The Sharkies versus the Storm. We've concentrated a lot on the Sharkies today because we are, of course, in Sydney, and we're surrounded by Sharkies supporters. But, like, I personally, if I was going to have a bet on the game, I think the Storm would win. Why would the Storm win, Kenty?
The only reason why you'd go to the Storm is because you just know what you're going to get. You know the way Cameron Smith plays in big games. You know the way Cooper Cronk plays in big games. You know the way they're tied five. I'm talking about their front rows and Jesse Bromwich and McLean in the back rows, Proctor and Tohu Harris. They just do the same job so professionally every week. You know that whatever Craig Bellamy has put in the game plan, you know that Cooper Cronk works harder on the game plan with the coach than any other player playing the game, and you know what they're going to toss up. And they put so much pressure on your weakness. I don't think I've seen a side perform that if you've got a little weakness and it's they just attack it so much, the Melbourne Storm. So there's a little bit unknown about Cronulla coming to this big stadium with all the fans. There's a fair bit more pressure on them, but Melbourne Storm might just know how they're going to play. Yeah, whether they're good enough, I don't know, but I know what they're going to do.
But that's where their strength can be their weakness, Gordon, because they will bring, you know what they'll bring, and if they get in a situation where they start poorly or they've got to start chasing points, can they do that? And Cronulla got a lot of upside. And one of the difficult things about trying to pick a winner today, it's very difficult to read the form on both sides because we all know Cronulla had that tremendous run, 15 in a row, but then they had a real fall off the cliff type moment. They won one of their next six. They had a draw in there as well. And they've slowly started to come back. But they're still not back to where they were. That doesn't mean that today they can't get there, though. I fully expect that today they'll be close to their best. And Melbourne, similarly, Melbourne haven't been the absolute Melbourne that we've seen in other years. And last week, I thought in many ways they were very lucky to get through Canberra. And so you say, well, hang on, if they're lucky to get through Canberra, they're not near their peak either, but by the same token, they can get there. So today is really about who's got the most upside and who brings the most upside. And I think Cronulla have got a little bit more in them from the point of view that they've got a little bit more flair in their side. So if they get out there and if they can get in that set-for-set wrestle early and just calm their nerves and start to get a little bit dominant in that area, then I think they've got the skill within the side to then take over.
Yeah, no doubt. If Cronulla get off to an 8 or 12-point lead, I think the Storm can't chase them down. They don't chase sides down. But if it's an arm wrestle and if it's going to the end and it's 6-8, well, you're back, mate. You put every bit of money that you can on Melbourne Storm. I think a grinding game Storm win, if Cronulla Cronulla can't get into a grind. I think Cronulla play with all the flair, with all the style, but play with all their flair, all the style that they've got, throw the ball around, chance their arm a little bit, and they might make mistakes, defend your mistakes. But if they get two tries up, it's fair to say that it could open for them.
I think it's going to be difficult for either side if they fall a couple of tries behind, because I just think that they both love the grind so much. And
they can grind.
Yeah, and for the Sharks, let's not forget, they are a tough side. They have been so tough for so many years. And what we saw this year was not only drop in toughness. All they did was bring a little bit of finesse and a little bit of potential and a little bit of potency to their attack. And they haven't lost any toughness by any means. Luke Lewis and Paul Gallen and those guys in the middle. Wade Graham.
Well, that game against the Raiders, right, for me, made Cronulla, I think, as a club. When Gallen didn't play and they lost Wade Graham to the head clash, and they're going and they're playing in Canberra, the Viking clap, it was big, the Raiders were in form, and they just dug in the Sharks, and no one gave them a chance, and they come from behind in the second half. I'm thinking, this is a team that's prepared to fight all the way.
And what was very special about that performance was Canberra had all the momentum, and it wasn't like Canberra suddenly just lost their way. It was Cronulla just sat back and said, okay, this is the way it is. This is where we're at. This is what we've got to do. And then just set by set, they just ground their way back into the game. And they had too much for Canberra in that area.
And that's what. And then with the Storm, you always think, oh, they're not playing that good. I'm going to write them off. Can the Storm win the comp? You say no. Without Billy Slater, you say no. You say, yeah, the Storm the best. And then every year, they just keep on making mockeries of all the guys that tip at the beginning of the year. And if you would have said, mate, will the Storm be in the grand final? I'd said, no, you tipped Cronulla to win the grand final at the beginning of the year. I thought the Cowboys were going to be the first side to go back-to-back. Yet the Storm, losing Billy Slater, just keep on reinventing themselves, play their own style of footy, play it well, and just suffocate other sides into making mistakes.
Yeah, and the lesson out of that is just tip Melbourne every year to win the minor premiership. More often you'll be right than wrong.
Hey, boys, Cutters 6, Bears 0 in the Intrust Championship. Cutters 6.
They might have had a bit too much celebration through the week.
Might be a little bit too relaxed.
It's only early days. Now, boys, for Mongrel Boots, Aussie Born and Bred, just while I've got a couple of minutes, let's have a bit of fun with this. The last Sharkies side to make a grand final was the Super League grand final in 1997, beaten by the Broncos 26 points to 8.
Sorry, Sharks fans.
You would assume the fullback was David Peachy and one of the wingers was Matt Rogers. And one of the centres was Andrew Eddinghausen. Who was the other centre?
It wasn't Mark McGaw, was it?
No. It was Russell Richardson.
It was Russell Richardson. And who
Gordon played in the game. He should get all these.
Who was the 5'8"?
Mitch Healy?
Yeah. Keep going, Kenty. You're the underdog here.
Halfback was Greeny, Tiara Nicow.
Hang on.
Les Davison.
All right. Who?
I think Sean Ryan might have played. Jason Stevens, Danny Lee.
See, that was going to be a good little game Dean for Trista. You had to go. That was going to be a good little game for you had to. It's like playing Monopoly with an idiot that picks up the Monopoly board and tips it all out because he doesn't get his way. Yeah.
That is me.
Yeah.
When my 8-year-old son was beating me,
yeah,
I taught him a lesson. Yeah. Pick up all the pieces, son.
And short change him when you've got to pay rent.
I'm the banker and he still beat me. I said banker.
Okay, 6-0, Cutters over Bears. And fellas, I know that you have gone through this earlier on, but just finally, who wins and by how many?
I just like Cronulla. I think it's going to be a tight game. It's funny because I said Cronulla by 2, and Matt Rogers said to me, he said, I don't think Cronulla can win a tight one. He said, they'll either put a score on. He said, if it's a tight game, he's tipping, or he thinks that it'll be Melbourne's way. But I just think that Cronulla's just primed, and as I said, there's more upside. I think grand finals, you don't want to see teams coming in where they're starting to plateau a bit, and Cronulla's on the way up. I think they've got that momentum of what's happened after 50 years. I don't think it's going to be a burden for them. I think it'll actually help them today because I think that they've learned to embrace it. I think in previous times it has been a pressure situation, but they've learned to embrace that. They've got enough experienced players like Gallen and Mick Ennis and Luke Lewis who can say to the guys, come on, fellas, this is what's important. This is what we pay attention to. This stuff isn't. And they play a game that they can go out and suddenly go boom, boom, try, try, and they're on their way.
Gordon. You know what? A bit like last year, I actually don't know. We have to make a tip, and I'm going to go for Melbourne only because I know, and I played with Cameron Smith, and that's probably the only reason why. So the reason I'm saying Melbourne Storm is I played with Cameron, but the Sharks, you know, I suppose if you're the Sharks are one of those sides that don't go away. They've been fighting over a bone for a long, long time, and I think that what they do is, you know, there didn't have to be too much meat, but the scoreboard goes in their favour, and I think it is the Sharks' game to lose today. I think it's the Sharks' grand final to lose. I think they're the favourites. They should go out there and they should play and they should win and they should enjoy the day. But grand finals aren't easy to win. They're the hardest thing to do, and I'm going to go Melbourne in a tight one only because of that's what I tipped.
Now, who do you say for your Clive Churchill then?
I think it's Cameron Smith. I think Cameron Smith's bucket list, it's not a bucket, it's a wheelie bin. I think he's got that much in there. He's won everything. He's done everything in the game. He's probably going to be the first player to maybe play 400 games, and the only thing that he hasn't won is a Clive Churchill medal. And I think he's the biggest and best big game player that we've got in the game, other than him and Thurston. They're the best too.
It is remarkable when you talk to other coaches about what Cameron Smith can bring to a side. And Kirby Waters was talking earlier in the week about what he was doing at Origin and just how he's able to get them home. And the ability to pick the momentum of the game and to say, right, now we need to pick it up, now we need to slow it down. He's just the best at that. And that's
okay, Cameron's doing this, so then you stop it. So the coaches come on and say, mate, he's doing this, so you stop him. Yep. Then he starts doing that. Yeah. And then he starts as a bit of success. So another message comes out and you stop that. Then he goes back to that. He just keeps on playing with them and he toys with them. And then as Cooper Cronk said, he goes, I tell him where to get to in the field. He gets to it. Then he gives me the ball and he'll execute the play. And, you know, I suppose, you know, if you want someone playing for your life today, well, you want Cameron Smith playing for it because he's just so calm under pressure.
Absolutely.
All right, boys. Just before we go, what club song would you rather hear at the at 9:30 tonight? Would it be this one?
I don't even know the words.
Jeez, you're in a mood today, aren't you?
Up, Cronulla.
Or perhaps it's this one.
We are the storm from Melbourne Town. We'll blow the others off the ground. We are the storm and number one.
Yeah, that is... That's like when you're in a country town and you hear a jingle for a local real estate agent. That Storm song is absolute rubbish.
It sounds like your radio shows.
Oh, geez. I'm going to miss you blokes over the next 4 months. Not. Kenny, have a great... enjoy the game tonight, buddy.
Thanks, Maroon. See you next year.
See you next year. Gordy, all the best, brother.
Thank you.
Have a great night. I'm going to hand you over to Dan Ganane and the team. Make sure you download the app, triplem.com.au. The call is live right across the Triple M network. And, of course, we're broadcasting live thanks to DeWalt.
Triple M rocks the NRL Grand Final.